Welcome to the Reach for Life broadcast from Christian Resources International. I'm Harry Jeffrey, and I'll be with you for the next half hour, featuring inspirational music and an uplifting message by Pastor Charles D. Brooks of the Breath of Life telecast. The Reach for Life program gives you knowledge for successful living in today's rapidly changing world. If you're raising a family, struggling with issues concerning your career, or seeking to enhance the overall quality of your life, stay right here. Reach for Life brings you thrilling messages from Pastor Charles D. Brooks, veteran evangelist and director speaker of the Breath of Life television broadcast. The Breath of Life telecast may be available in your area, and you won't want to miss it. Please check your local television listings, including your cable TV listings, for the time and station. Make sure you don't miss Pastor Brooks on the Breath of Life telecast. Set your VCR to tape the program for you if you have to be away. Most of us remember the thief on the cross who entreated Jesus to remember him when Jesus came into his kingdom. Here's Wintley Phipps with a poignant melody recounting his fervent plea.
Remember me when you talk to your Father.
You can write to us anytime with your request for prayer or your Bible questions. We'll give you our address a little later, so please have a pencil ready. Pastor Brooks comes to us now with a message entitled Simply Jonah. Perhaps you remember the story from Scripture in which one of God's messengers did not like his assignment, so he took off in the hopes of escaping his duty. God used some dramatic and thrilling special effects to illustrate the point that running from him is ultimately a waste of time. In the end, Jonah was only too happy to do God's bidding. Let's listen as Pastor Brooks applies this story to our experience in the conclusion of Jonah.
I got a testimony. Yes. What is your testimony, my brother? It pays to do what God says. I have seen men and women with their lives in a mess. I've seen them with their futures broken and crumbling to pieces. I've seen them destroy themselves. And I've come to the conclusion, it does not pay to follow the flesh. It's not worth it to destroy the sanctity of your body and somebody else's. It is not worth it to walk with the devil in times like these. We don't know when our moment will come. Old Jonah said, I know what's behind this. Word of the Lord told me to go that way, and I'm headed that way. They said, well, how can we straighten this thing out before we all perish? He said, there's only one way. You got to take me up and throw me overboard. You know, if you read this first chapter, those sailors had more religion than he did. Jonah is willing to sacrifice a whole city to do his thing. These men don't even want to throw him overboard in order to save themselves. The Bible said they rowed hard, but they couldn't bring the ship to land. Then they became desperate. And those men who had been praying to all these idol gods suddenly lifted their heads toward Jonah's God. And they said, oh God, please don't hold us responsible for innocent blood. We don't know how to judge this fellow. We don't know if he's bad as he said he was. If he turns out to be good, please don't charge us. But we're doing the best we can. Don't let our lives be taken because of him. And having prayed that prayer, they picked old Jonah up and they started toward the edge of the ship. Can you imagine what Jonah was thinking? Waves out there 30 feet high, wind howling, lightning flashing, the threat of God's vengeance, the thunder bellowing, the tone of God's wrath, and he's about to be thrown out into it. They reached over to the side of the ship. Every man with a heavy heart gave a heave, and old Jonah was free of their grasp. And as he began to float down, God had arranged with a great fish. We usually call him a whale. I don't know where he was when the storm started, but God told him, I got a mission for you. I want you to find a little ship bobbing along in the middle of this storm. And I want you to go up near to it because I'm going to have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And when old Jonah started down, I imagine head first, that fish opened his mouth. And Jonah, instead of being drowned, felt himself being sucked in. A slick, hot, stinking journey down a fish's throat to the belly. Now, I don't need any scientists arguing with me. I've heard scientists say that these giant fish have a cavity in their heads where they can store food and then send it to the stomach. Maybe he was in there. How do I know? Bible says he went into the fish's belly. And if somebody tells me a fish can't swallow a man whole, then I got some news for them. I went out to the airport one day and I saw a Lincoln automobile. Now, all of you have seen Lincoln automobiles, but this Lincoln automobile had six doors on each side. And it was as long as a bus. And anybody with any knowledge of automobiles would know this was no ordinary Lincoln. This was a special built Lincoln. So when God got ready to teach Jonah a lesson, this was no ordinary fish. Don't tell me about the size of his mouth and the size of his esophagus. This was a special built fish. As soon as Jonah was in the fish's mouth, God smiled and the clouds balled themselves up and marched out of the skies. The thunder ceased its bellowing and the lightning was gone and the sea became calm. And the men on board said, "That man's God is the true God." And the Bible says they offered sacrifices unto his God. They joined the church. Would you say amen? Amen? If some of these hypocrites would get out of the church, more people would join. But what about Jonah? As soon as that fish closed him in, he took Jonah for a ride. Now, I don't know if you've ever driven or maybe you've been on a roller coaster, and when you go over the hump and drop, there's something in your stomach. You ever feel that? You can believe Jonah got a plenty of that. Jonah, fastened in the belly of a fish, was taken for a ride. The Bible says that he had seaweed wrapped around his head. Inside that fish's belly were bits and pieces of decaying flesh. The gastric juices was consuming them in giant whale metabolism. And all of a sudden, it's burning old Jonah's hide. The acid has gone through his clothing. And he's stinging and itching and burning, and the skin is on fire. And he tries to breathe, and the air smells like a fish plant. And when he tries to take a big gulp of air, the fish opens his mouth and seawater splashes him in the face. He's in a mess, running from the word of the Lord. Bible says that fish sounded, went down to the bottoms of the ocean, the bottoms of the mountains. And when old Jonah was about to get adjusted, that fish needed some air. And he went back up to the surface, up and down, up and down. Jonah couldn't stand up, wasn't tall enough in there. Besides, all of the surface was coated with all kinds of mucus. It was slicker than ice. He was struggling for his equilibrium. There was nothing he could do to make himself comfortable. When you run from the word of the Lord, the Bible says, "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." You cannot have peace. All of a sudden, Jonah remembered God. Yes. I'm not praising Jonah, I'm praising the Lord now. Yes. Jonah decided, "Look here, I'm a fool for what I've done. This is all my fault. I got myself in here. Besides, I'm supposed to bow every day toward the temple in Jerusalem and pray. The way this fish is whirling around, I don't even know which way is east. Therefore, I don't know if God will hear me or not, but it's all I got." Jonah said he opened his mouth and cried unto the Lord. Out of the belly of the fish, he cried. He said, "Out of hell, I cry." I'm glad God didn't like y'all. I don't know if you'd have heard Jonah or not, but God is a merciful God. And with whatever comes our way, he's only seeking our best. And the Bible says somewhere, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Jonah's word about which way is east, God said, "Man, pray." It's the Holy Spirit that leads us to prayer. Pray. Stop rationalizing your situation. Pray. Stop trying to make sense according to your own opinion. Pray. Jonah said, when I felt that, and that's the Holy Ghost. I'm glad the Holy Ghost can get to us no matter where we are. It was the Holy Spirit down there with Jonah, and the Holy Spirit impressed him, and Jonah started praying. Now, I don't have to tell you that man learned how to pray if he didn't already know how. No ordinary prayer. Jonah began to cry unto the Lord, and what can you cry for? You gonna make excuses? Oh, no, not now. You gonna explain to God why you did what you did? No, that isn't on your mind now. This man needs saving, and only God can do that. And Jonah has nothing to offer God but a disobedient heart. He cried for mercy, and he records that God heard me.
Yes, sir.
Glory to God. I don't know whether his prayer began down at the bottom or up on top, but what I know is that prayer was able to penetrate all of that whale flesh, 6 to 8 inches of blubber. And then that prayer was able, like a missile, to work itself up out of the sea, and it took off toward glory, aided by the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, if you're sinning, you've got an advocate with the Father. Come boldly through the throne of grace that you might find help in the time of need. That prayer went on past the sun, the moon, and the stars. That prayer went on past the pearly gates where angels keep God. That prayer entered the very throne room of God and lodged in God's mind. Save me. God decided he's learned. And he spoke to that whale, and that whale headed toward shore. My wife and I were riding along the shore of the Mediterranean in Lebanon when all of a sudden Dr. Shawantes, our guide, was racing through town, and I saw a little sign. It said, Joni. Joni. I said, Doctor, wait a minute. What does that sign mean? He said, oh, yes, I should have told you. This is where Jonah came ashore. And they named the village Joni. Well, now let me tell you something. All along the highway, rock-bound sea, water crashing in like thunder, foaming billows retreating.
Yes, sir.
If Jonah had come up over there, he would have been dashed against a stone and smashed to smithereens. But when we got to Joni, that was the only place between where we began and Byblos where we saw a sandy beach. Isn't God good? He wouldn't let that fish turn him loose just anywhere. He told him where to go. And that fish came in as close as he dared. That hypocrite had made him sick. He was nauseated from his tail to his head. He was glad when God said, let him go. He opened his mouth and barked. Jonah rolled out with a billow, vomited out. And when he tried to gain his footing, the water was only about waist deep. And Jonah could make it to shore. He walked up out of that water. Now, we parked there to look at all this. And I turned my back to the sea, and right across the road were cliffs, straight up, as high as these walls. And I thought to myself, you reckon Jonah went straight up there? Word of the Lord came to him. He was living in a nice place. He could have gotten in a chariot, and he could have ridden down to Nineveh. Easy. Best time to obey the word of the Lord as soon as you hear it. If Jonah had listened to the word of God when he heard it, he could have gone along the easy way. He could have stopped in inns at night, gotten his meals at a restaurant. If Jonah had made up his mind to do what God said as soon as he heard it, he could have gone down there like we came to New York. But when you run from the word of the Lord, you're just making it hard for yourself. It's always easiest when you first hear it. Would you say amen, church? Amen. And so now Jonah has got to climb high mountains trying to get home. Jonah's got to come up the rough side of the mountain.
Yes, sir.
And they tell me that as soon as you cleared those cliffs, there was nothing between the sea and Nineveh but desert. No shade, no cool streams, no vineyards and fruit trees, no harvest fields. Desert, desert with its scorpions, its snakes, its thorn bush, and its seething hot sun. Now he's got to do God's will at a disadvantage. But Jonah didn't let that stop him. The Bible says that when Jonah got out of there, Nineveh was a great city, a 3 days journey. But Jonah began to enter a day's journey.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Now, every time I see that, I have to have a little fun with it. Because some believe it was 3 days from the sea to Nineveh, and Jonah made it in a day. He got in a hurry after that whale got through with him. Would you say amen out there? Some people are not ready to serve God till they flatter their backs. Not ready to serve God until they are almost dead. Jonah took off. One thing now, do what the word of the Lord says. In all fairness, I have to tell you that the scholars say that's not the meaning. The city of Nineveh was so big that if you took your time and observed it going through, it would take you 3 days from one side to the other. So Jonah went in about a third of the way, and he began to preach. I have no doubt that he was in earnest now. I have no doubt that the power was with him now. I have no doubt that the Spirit of God was with him now. And the man preached with such power that even the king came out and said, "What can we do to stop the destroying hand of God?" Jonah said, "Repent. Repent and bow down to the one true God." And the people began to line up. They became converted. Even the king dressed in sackcloth and ashes. And he ordered the whole nation to listen to the word of the Lord.
Yes,
and Nineveh was saved.
Amen.
My friends, when the word of the Lord comes, he's not kidding.
Amen.
And he's not going to change.
Amen.
When the word of the Lord comes, it's time to take God seriously. Would you say amen?
Amen.
Just make sure it's the word of the Lord. And once you're sure, decide that that settles it. My professor in college went to a convention of theologians. They were discussing theology. And they were at a big round table, and Dr. Edwards was sitting there. And they would bring up a question, and they'd say, "Now, Dr. Jones, what do you think?" And he'd give his opinion. "Well, Dr. Smith, what do you think?" And when they'd get to Dr. Edwards, they'd say, "What do you think?" He said, "Well, you know, the Bible says." The Bible says. They kept doing that, and he began to get on their nerves. Finally, they got around to him again. "Dr. Edwards, what do you think?" He said, "Gentlemen, the Bible." He said, "Wait a minute. We're tired of hearing what the Bible says. I'm asking you, what do you think?" He said, "Gentlemen, my faith in God's word is so strong, whatever the Bible says is what I think." I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes, please. Today we come rejoicing, bringing in God's sheaves.
You know that there is something very special He'll do in your life. Better than you can imagine, He'll take your heart and make your life brand new. Let the Savior take control of your life.
You have been listening to the third and final segment of The Story of Jonah by Pastor Charles D. Brooks. We'd be happy to send you a copy of the entire 53-minute sermon. Please send along a gift of $5 U.S. or more, and we'll rush your audio cassette copy to you right away. Ask for tape number 4, Jonah. Write to Reach for Life, Post Office Box 3339, Silver Spring, Maryland 20918. That's Reach for Life, Post Office Box 3339, Silver Spring, Maryland 20918 in the U.S. Be sure to ask for tape number 4. You might like to have our free catalog. It is full of inspiring music, including the music you heard today, along with many powerful messages by Pastor Brooks. Just write to Reach for Life, Post Office Box 3339, Silver Spring, Maryland in the U.S. We'll get it to you right away. I'm Harry Jeffrey, your host for the Reach for Life program. On behalf of Pastor Brooks, Adrian Wesney, music arranger, and Myron S. Otley, our executive producer, thank you for listening. We urge you to invite Jesus Christ into your heart for peace, for true happiness, and for everlasting life. Until next time, God bless.